Oh, there we go. We're back. Raps Rants. All things Raptors.
Another season.
All things NBA, hosted by Philip Marion, Patrick Harris, and Blair Johnson. But tonight's episode is only going to be with my good friend Pat Harris. Blair can't make it.
We're going to be missing a lot of very hot takes and big opinions today.
Yeah, we'll have to try and fill the shoes. You can get a little fiery, which I think we'll do a good enough job.
Absolutely.
So we left it off with, I think, our predictions for Game 7 against Boston, and we never came back, and I don't blame any of us for not coming back. I just didn't feel like it. And no. That loss sucked. So it was, now that you look back, it was the end of that team. Now that we don't have Gasol and Ibaka and Hollis Jefferson, although he didn't play in that series, but pieces to a team that were defending. So we're now officially not the defending champions.
And I guess that's the big question. Is that the end of our run? Is, a lot of people are sort of looking at the Raptors and thinking that. So it's going to be a really, really interesting season. And I think I think we're going to find out the answer to that question.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really interesting. They're playing on the road the entire season, being down in Tampa. They have new pieces, Aaron Baines. Who else did we get? Alex Len.
Alex Len.
Our rookie looks good. Malachi Flynn. He's looking strong.
He had a great early preseason. I thought Boucher looked good. I thought Kyle looked really good in the game he played.
Let's say that. I mean, my opinion on this, I think the Raptors have established a winning culture and a winning mentality with an effort every day. The one thing that you can't doubt about the Raptors is their effort every single game. And if you don't show up with effort, you're not getting on the floor. So they're going to be competitive every single game. And the core three, I mean, we just had OG just got extended. Pascal is locked up, and we got Van Vliet. So you got your core three. Lowry, who knows what's going to happen after this year. We'll see. But at the end of the day, the core pieces to have a competitive team in the Eastern Conference are there. Whether they're in the top four of the Eastern Conference is the question. If you make no changes, then you have to have those three really grow.
Well, don't you think we're a different team, though? When you lose guys like Ibaka and Gasol, and you know, we all have been watching for the last number of years how incredibly critical they were to our team and to the way we played. You lose guys like that, and you replace them. I'm not saying Aaron Baines isn't a good player. I'm not saying he's not going to be a good piece. But he's not the same as Marc Gasol, and we're Serge Ibaka is going to leave a massive hole coming off the bench for our team, and that's what I'm really going to be worried about this year. And I don't know. I guess I like as a sort of optimistic Torontonian, I like to think that Nick Nurse has a plan to adjust for that and to minimize that loss as much as possible.
Well, I mean, time will tell. I mean, I think he obviously will. It's just a matter of executing it will work. I'm not a coach, so I have no idea what he has in store. You're absolutely right. I don't think we can expect the Raptors to be like they were last year. And my thoughts are is that their ceiling is the 4 seed this year. That's the highest they're going to be. I think the low is going to be the 6. I think they're going to be in that 4-6 range. I don't think you have a chance of them missing the playoffs. That's my thought. You seem to be smirking a bit, so you must have a different opinion on that.
Well, I don't. I think your 4-6, I think, is optimistic. When I look at the Eastern Conference, I look at a lot of teams. Now, granted, we finished second last year, so there were 6 teams beneath us. But a number of those teams got a lot better in the offseason. than we did. I don't think we've improved ourselves.
We got worse. There's no doubt about that. We're worse.
And so, you know, you look at Brooklyn, we'll talk about them. You look at, you know, Boston made some interesting moves. Philly, I think, has brought in a lot of stability with Doc Rivers. And so I think it's going to be really tough. I don't think the Eastern Conference is as easy for us as it used to be. Even teams, look at Washington, they're going to be better. Miami's coming off a title run. They didn't win, but they made it. And I just think the top of the East, it's not a West dominated league anymore, because of some of the parity that we've seen. And I think it's going to, the real loser in that, I think, is the Toronto Raptors, because it makes their regular season a heck of a lot tougher than it's been in the past, I would say, 8 years.
Well, just looking in division now, I mean, they have a chance of being the fourth place team in the division. You have Brooklyn, Philly, Boston, most likely will finish ahead of them. They're obviously going to be projected to finish ahead. The reason I give the Raptors an optimistic look is there's still a lot of unknowns with those teams that have supposedly gotten better. A lot of teams supposedly got better last year.
Yeah.
But our core has been in place for such a long period of time now that adding sort of pieces to that core and that main component is, we're still going to be humming along and starting the season strong and with a huge amount of defensive effort. Whereas some other teams might take a little bit to kickstart and get into gear. Plus, it's only 72 games. Plus, it was a short time period for training camps, et cetera. So I give the Raptors a leg up there just for coming out of the gate stronger than people would expect. The one thing that that sucks for them is that they're on the road the entire year. So that's the negative. But I think they're mentally strong. I think they're strong enough to deal with that. I don't think it's going to be a huge, huge issue. I mean, we're not going to have fans back like we did in 2018-19. So
I think they're letting 3,800 fans per game in Tampa is what they're allowing.
Yeah, my sister and brother-in-law live there. They got their email notification for tickets to the game.
Nice.
They will not be going. But
no. No. You know, it's interesting. I heard Masai was on the Barkley podcast this week, and he admitted it's been a tremendous disruption to have the team move to Tampa, because what we don't think about, it's not the bubble, right? They're not all staying.
Not everybody in the same scenario.
No, and you've got guys who have families and they got to get their kids in school and they got to, like, there's a lot of intangibles that a lot of these players are going to have to be dealing with that others aren't. And, you know, when I think we can all agree that, you know, Pascal Siakam's success is going to make or break our team. He didn't have a good bubble. And I think he and the other players on the Raptors would be the first to say it was the bubble that did it to him. It was the isolation and it was the pandemic and all that stuff that got to him. And so that's my thing I'm worried about, is if he's in a similar situation and doesn't play up to his full ability, it's going to put us in a lot of trouble this year. However, I will not be a pessimist. I will say on the thing the Raptors have going for them in my book is that I think OG Anunoby and Fred VanVleet are getting better every year. I think Norman Powell is becoming an incredibly reliable sort of 7-8 coming off the bench and can really provide that spark. I think, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Terrence Davis. And I think the rookie that we've got, he had a great preseason. That doesn't mean anything, but he showed everyone some things that say he deserves to be in the rotation. And I'm very excited to see what he brings, but it all comes back to the center. And if we don't have, you know, a strong presence down low, it's going to put us in a lot of tough fights in the Eastern Conference this year against guys like Giannis and Kevin Durant and Joel Embiid. Even Tristan Thompson being put on a team like Boston, I think it's going to cause us a lot of problems. And so I think
good point.
There's a lot of reason to be optimistic with our team because it is intact and it is well coached, et cetera. But there's a lot of things that scare me in the East this year.
Oh, this is back to we're back like 5-6 years in terms of expectations on the season and or at least you're going to have those expectations that they're going to, they're not contenders. They are not, if they made the four seed, I give that a high level, like that would be their best they can do. I'd be still surprised if they did it. It's not, the East has gotten a lot better. Like you're absolutely right. One thing I do want to comment on is that, you know, all the fans that hated on Gasol and also Siakam, like Siakam's going to have his chance to try and redeem himself, and that's what he's got to do. So he had a terrible series against Boston. It was record setting for a number of, you know, 3-point percentage in a 7-game series. It was the worst in the history of basketball, which doesn't say very much. I mean, just why do you keep shooting threes anyways?
Yeah,
that was huge. And everybody hated on Gasol. And I've heard people say, I'm glad that he's gone. It's like, really? Are you really glad he's gone? Like, come on.
He knows
it was a big deal.
He knows who to pass it to. He knows how to set up a defense. And he just does those valuable things. And I think I'm putting him on a team like LA. I think people are underestimating the value that he brings coming off the bench for them. It's absurd. Did he play well in the bubble? Not particularly. I think his defensive rating was still pretty good. But his offense obviously has dropped off a ton. I think everyone who really follows the Raptors will remember the championship run. And, you know, he didn't score a million points, but he was a huge part of that win just by the stuff he was doing on the floor.
We don't have Gasol. You don't get by Philly. You don't have – there's so many things. He hit so many key shots in a lot of series, a lot of games. He was – he had a big impact. So that – he will be missed. And, Ibaka is going to be greatly missed. And I'm going to say I think the Raptors kind of messed up a bit with that. I mean, I guess they were trying to hold off for the Giannis sweepstakes, but – you really didn't sign for that much. And what, you couldn't have thrown him a few extra bucks and done like a team option or a player option for year two? I don't know.
You talking about for Ibaka?
Yeah. It seemed like a little, like he really didn't sign for much for the Lakers.
No.
I apologize.
Yeah. I haven't heard Masai give his rationale for it, but I would tend to agree with you. Like for what it was 2 years, $18 million with the Lakers?
No, it was nothing. I mean, when you look at
Clippers.
Yeah. But yeah, it was really low. I mean, Gasol, I'm not surprised about. I mean, and Gasol's a class act. He said, hey, I wouldn't have been able to fill the role the Raptors needed, which would have been a lot more offense.
Heavy minutes, yeah.
Heavy minutes and offense. He knows he's not going to be able to do it.
Well, do you think – was it just that the Raptors wouldn't give Ibaka that guaranteed second year? That's sort of the narrative that's out there. But if you're Ibaka on a team that everyone outside of Toronto would certainly view on the decline, and you're looking at a team like the Clippers with your old pal Kawhi, that might be pretty enticing.
I don't know where you're going, and I'm not mad at him in the slightest. I mean, thank you for your time, Serge. You did a great job. You're part of a champion team. I always remember you and fondly remember you and cheer for you when you come back.
Big part of our team last year too, though. You never like to second guess stuff and matchups matter, but I would have loved to have seen what the result in the Boston series would have been if he played more, because he was at times in a lot of those close games, he was dominant. And then he found himself on the bench at key minutes. And it was a head scratcher for me, but I have long since learned to put my trust in the coaches and not myself on these questions.
I believe in their-
yeah. 100%.
All right. So where do we go from here? Why don't we do this? Predictions for who's going to win? Who's winning the NBA championship? Thoughts?
I think it's going to be, I think the Lakers are a better team than they were last year. I think with the exception of the Ibaka trade, I don't like what the Clippers have done in the offseason. I don't think they're that much better than they were. I think Milwaukee sort of leveled out. Like, I don't think that they're...
Milwaukee are a bunch of losers. Bunch of losers.
Yeah, look, this is a very long, convoluted way of saying I think if Brooklyn stays healthy, I think it's going to be incredibly hard for them to for anyone to beat them in the East. I think the same thing goes for the Lakers. And I think I would love to see a healthy Brooklyn, healthy Lakers NBA final and 6-5 and pick them at that point.
Yeah, I'm going with the Lakers. You gotta, as LeBron demanded in his victory speech, he wants his damn respect. Well, I'm gonna give it to him. He has reclaimed his throne. Team has gotten better. It's his championship to lose. He's got an amazing structure around that team. He's gonna get it, and someone's got to try and take it from him.
Well, then, just for the sake of all our listeners, I will do this because I do think they're going to be incredibly good this year. And because he is a fan of the Washington football team, I will pick Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets to win the title this year.
Well, although I'm not a KD or Kyrie fan either. I'm rooting for KD a little bit just because I'd like to see – that was a nasty injury. I'd like to see him come back. He's a spectacular player to watch.
He looked good in preseason. I thought.
Yeah, I've got a bet with a friend of mine that he's going to average over 28.3 points per game this season. Don't ask me why we came to that number. But I think given the system that they're in with Nash/D'Antoni, and basically they're probably not going to play defense. I wouldn't be surprised if they average 150 points a game and Durant averaged 40. I don't know. But I think he's going to be north side of 28.
Well, they're up big on the Nets right now, or on the Warriors right now.
Not good.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. Kyrie's got 19, Durant's got 12 in the first half there.
12. I need to get up there, man. I need over 28.
Yeah, well, it's gonna be interesting to see how Nash manages his time, bringing him back from such a horrific injury. A lot of pressure on him as a rookie head coach with this sort of, you know, complete all-star team that he's inherited. So I don't envy the position he's in, because if he overplays him to try to rack up those wins, and he gets hurt again, that's going to be a short coaching career for Mr. Nash.
All right, so let's talk about the free agency decisions on some part. I mean, I say decisions. Let's talk about Giannis. So he decided to do the Supermax. I'm not surprised. I was hopeful that he wouldn't take it, and that we would have had a shot afterwards. If he hadn't have taken the Supermax, I would have put the Raptors at a 20% chance. The only reason I say that, because I think he would have been deciding between like five teams. So, I don't know, 1 in 5.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised at all that he took it. But I think by waiting, he really hamstrung his team. I don't understand the philosophy there that he... He ends up taking it late in early December and leaves all this time where free agents are signing and trades are happening, and Milwaukee's kind of out of the conversation because they don't know. No one knows if Giannis is going to be there or not. And so if he had sort of signed day one, I think he would have left his GM with a lot more leverage to make some better moves. I'm not saying that the moves that, like, Holiday's good. Like, they picked up some decent players. It's just, I think it's pretty tough. They also lost a draft pick because of the Bogdanovich thing, which is interesting.
I think that their team didn't get any better. I really like Drew Holiday, but you lost George Hill and Bledsoe. I agree with getting rid of cut Bledsoe. That guy stunk in the playoffs consistently. You couldn't rely on him. Sure, they're going to be good. They're a regular season team at this point. Until they change it, they've turned into the new Raptors. Are you gonna perform? Prove it.
Yeah,
I'm serious. There's no other way to look at it. You know, Giannis, we know that you can't score crunch time because you just get double teamed. You can't dribble. You're 7 feet tall. Who are your guys? Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton. So those are the guys that if one of them can prove to be a playoff performer and have the clutch moments in the last 5 minutes of the game when the game is in 5 points, there you go. So let's see. Defensively, they're going to be good. Regular season, they're going to be awesome. But until I see the playoffs, they're not worth talking about.
Not yet. And so, certainly when you look at the other teams in the Eastern Conference, it's going to be really interesting to see. I think I put them in the same boat as the Raptors, which is if they want to have a chance to compete, they're certainly a big trade away. And Phil, there happens to be a certain player that has been rumored to be going to practically every single team in the NBA at this point. But we would be remiss if we didn't talk about James Harden and James Harden's sweepstakes that's going on. I think I sent you the text yesterday of the tweet that said, I have it confirmed from the best source in the NBA that it is now between Boston and Toronto to land James Harden. I don't believe that for a second, but certainly
pretend that it is because it's kind of juicy. I like this would be good. This is a good one to talk about.
Yeah, because the idea would be that we would trade Siakam and likely a role player and a bunch of picks for Harden. And you know, we talked about this earlier today. I take that in a heartbeat.
No brainer.
Yeah, anytime you have a chance.
A lot of Siakam fans out there, I'd be sad to see him go. But at the end of the day, we're talking James Harden.
Yeah,
and
the best scorer, in the league right now, hands down.
He'd be the number, like, if you just look at it, I mean, you look at Raptors history, and, you know, Kawhi Leonard is the best player that we've ever had on the Raptors team, but he wasn't the flashiest superstar. The biggest superstar we've had is Vince Carter. If you get James Harden on this team, it's a big deal for the franchise.
Yeah, and he's better than both of those players. I mean, yeah, arguably Kawhi, I get, but like, he's a better scorer, for sure.
Sure, better scorer. Defensively, Kawhi gets the nod. And Kawhi's been in a situation where he's won, so he gets a bit more respect. He gets more. James Harden is not getting respect because he hasn't won a championship, but otherwise he's spectacular.
The thing that I'd love to see is Harden in Nick Nurse's system, and to see what a coach like Nick Nurse could do with a player like Harden, putting him with, like, if you go Van Vliet, Lowry, Harden, there's no better 1-3 in the NBA. I don't think you.
No.
Show me the team that has that. And then it, all of a sudden, Aaron Baines doesn't seem like such a liability.
No.
When you've got those guys.
No, he'd be, well, just right there. I mean, it's one of those things you might ask the question, like, who else? Because, you know, most likely you're including someone like an OG or a Norm, and picks. But so imagine you didn't have OG as well, and you're like, well, who the hell are we going to put up there? It's going to be Baines and Boucher or something along those lines. Well, yeah, well, you figure it out. You can even just start with that. I mean, Rockets had a lot of success with small ball. Of course, the Raptors aren't incredibly analytical, so they wouldn't be throwing that type of lineup out. But they'd figure it out. I would love to see it happen. I agree with you. I think the percent chances are probably less than one. I mean, we haven't really heard a big source come out and say it. But it's funny, the Boston fans were freaking out at the mention of Jaylen Brown, and it's like, really? I'm sorry. That's why he's getting no respect. I mean, if you had a choice between Jaylen Brown and James Harden, I'm taking James Harden every single time.
Well, you know what's interesting, though, Phil, is that the Rockets, I think they may be not getting the type of offers they want. Was here reading something today about the Philly GM basically coming out and saying, we'll give you Ben Simmons. He's got two more years on his contract than Harden does. We'll give it to you. We'll do a straight up trade. That's what we'll offer you. And Miami's already sort of, Miami's pulled themselves out because of the pick situation as well. And so, you know, I don't know if it's the way Harden's gone about this, but I get the sense that he's being, I don't want to say undervalued, that's too strong. But Houston may be asking for they're basically asking for your team's sort of best player right now plus your future in order to get Harden for 2 years with an option for a third. And that may just – I think that's too steep a price for a lot of these teams for a guy that's never won before. So if I were making a bet right now, and I know this I think is a bit of a hot take, I don't think Harden leaves Houston this year.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, you don't have to rush. I would kind of like to see that. I'm a little sick of players just being like, I don't like my contract and situation anymore, so trade me. I mean, you made a decision with the team to stick with it. Things change, so be it. You know, honor contracts instead of just being like, I'm out. You know, it's ridiculous.
I kind of hope he stays because I've always been a closeted John Wall fan. And a healthy John Wall. He looks good. I don't know if you saw him any of the games in the preseason. He's healthy. He's a speed back. So you put Harden, John Wall, and even maybe it's a resurrection of Boogie Cousins this year. PJ Tucker. I actually am kind of excited to see what Houston can do with that team because I feel like they're in a good spot health wise.
John Wall makes every game annoying because he recklessly drives and puts so much pressure on the games to be decided by the refs. Where it's just that's just what I don't like. I mean, it's every single time he's throwing his hands up because he either didn't get fouled or he's getting fouled, some phantom foul, just because it looks like he was going so hard to the rim that they just blow the whistle. His game stinks.
Yeah, but that's on a team where he was the first and for a long period of time the only option. And you're putting him on a team where he's probably option either 2B or option 3.
Can't shoot.
Yeah, but my point being is that he can become a much more important role player for Houston when all – like you take – anyway – he hasn't played in, I don't think he's played in 5 years.
Hey, listen, I'm happy for him getting back from that injury. That, like, he's been out of the NBA for a long time, so good on him on not giving up in the training. So
yeah,
I'll applaud him on that. I don't want to be too much of a jerk here.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't spend much of our time talking about John Wall anyway.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
But I think the Raptors need to make a trade, and that was what I was going to say earlier.
Okay.
When we talk about, you know, predictions for this year, I think the Vegas over under on Raptors wins is 44.5 right now, which if you break out to a 82 game season is, you know, somewhere in sort of the 52 games, somewhere in there.
You're making it an 80 game. Yeah, I got it. Okay.
Yeah. If it's an 82 game season, it would be like a 51 win team. I think
a lot of respect. I gotta give it to Vegas. That's a lot of respect for the Raptors. 51 win team percentage that's strong.
Well, I think the Raptors have probably hit the over on team wins each of the last like 8 years because I think Vegas has undervalued them, and so it's probably
one year to take the under.
Well, I don't know if it's 1 year to take the under. Basically, if you take the over, you'd be saying that they're going to at minimum go 45-27. And what we just talked about was a very strong Eastern Conference. So I would probably go slight under, but I think they're a trade away from being really competitive in the Eastern Conference. And I just hope I would assume that Masai's got stuff in the works and has got his mind thinking about how he can improve the team as it currently is this season. But I really think that's what we need.
Yeah. I think you go for a trade if they surprise. If they're winning handedly and they're the, like you come up and they're like the 4 seed or even the 3 miraculously, like they're playing really well, then you start to think about going for it. But otherwise, I would just let the season play out. I mean, we got a lot of cap space. We can try and sign some free agents next year. There are some good ones coming up. I can't list them right now off the top of my head, but I know next year is going to be particularly strong.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do we need to? Yeah, I know we're used to winning, but I think you just take a breather, see what these guys can do. You try and make it to the second round. I'd be happy with that. If they get out in the first round, I'm fine with that. Just make the playoffs.
One of the things that last year going into the season when everyone was sort of had the Raptors in the same boat, sort of mid-level team, I remember thinking that it was crazy. I was like, this team, they're not Kawhi, but they're still going to be contenders in the Eastern Conference than they were. I don't feel that way this year.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, because you saw like they were 17-5 without Kawhi against really good teams.
Yeah.
Year they didn't play. And then, yeah, you've got a bit too much of a shakeup going on with the Raptors' key players. Like, you've got two key players gone instead of just, you know, one. I'm not even going to count Danny Green. Yeah, it's just Kawhi. But, it's going to be – I mean, I'm hopeful. I think they still can be capable of surprising, but this is definitely the toughest year we've had in a long time.
Yeah. Also going to be interesting to see what these guys do when they get to spend their winters on the beach as opposed to, you know, freezing their asses off from a condo parking lot to the ACC parking lot and not being able to go outside because it's minus 40. Being in Tampa Bay, I'm just very curious to see if that has an impact on their game at all.
Well, I wonder what the protocol would be. Florida is, in my mind, reckless in terms of people out pretending like things never existed or COVID never happened.
Right.
So are they going to be allowed out? Are they going to have curfews? Are they going to have range bound? Are they in their own sort of Tampa bubble? I don't know. Maybe we're going to see a lot of players with COVID.
They said that the Raptors basically made a deal with the JW Marriott, and I think they've taken over one of their facilities in terms of like set of practice facilities there, offices there, training rooms there, etc.
They're essentially bubbled.
Yeah, they're not living. I don't think they're living there though. So
That's actually a big worry now that you brought it up. I think there's a good chance that you're right. There's going to be a little more excitement to be out in the sun instead of like accepting that you're going to be indoors all the time when it's freezing.
You know what? I can't take credit for that thought though, because it was what I heard Charles Barkley ask Masai. He said, like, he goes, I played on a cold team. I played on a hot team. He said, when I played on the cold team, all you have to do is think about basketball every day, every night, because you don't want to leave your house. He said, when you play on a hot team, you're, you want to go to the beach. You want to go to the play golf. You want to do all these things. And your mind's a little bit more active. And, you know, he said it could be it's a plus and a minus, right? And so it all just depends how it hits this team, I guess.
Yeah. So, all right. So we've highlighted the Raptors, the league, our predictions. I still kind of like, what are your thoughts on, you know, our starting five? You put Norm pretty low on the list in terms of bench. I was thinking he was going to be the leader off the bench. Who do you have like getting minutes?
No, you're absolutely right. And you call me out. I appreciate that. I was going off last year when Norm was sort of a seven or an eight guy coming off after Ibaka and sometimes Ananobi and others. This year you're right. I think Norm is probably depending on the position, I think he's probably the starting sixth man. But it's not a deep bench, Phil.
It's really not. I'm just going to talk about this very briefly because this is a sensitive topic. But Terrence Davis, I'm a bit disappointed in the Raptors franchise, and I don't have all the info. But you know, in terms of players I've seen through the years that are accused of things, and are outright charged. He's been outright charged. I really don't know why he's playing. He's getting paid. I don't know. You correct me if I'm wrong. If you're in the regular workforce and you got charged with something like that, I think your boss might be like, hey, man, you know, until this gets sorted out, why don't you just stay home for the time being?
100%.
So I just don't get it. Well, I do. He's a very promising player with a lot of upside and could be very important this year. That's where I'm going to go with it, is that they want him to be out there. And frankly, it's disappointing. I thought the Raptors have been in this scenario as a franchise a few times, namely with Alvin Robertson and Keon Clark, both of which, you know, had charges. They were cut. They never played basketball again. Now, I don't know. I mean, Terrence Davis, I will give the benefit of the doubt. We have to wait and see what happens with his process, but he was charged, and I'm just surprised that he's out there. So I'll leave it at that. I hope he doesn't. I hope they stick him on the end of the bench. I don't think they will.
Just on the Terrence Davis thing, I agree with you. You know, the sort of human in me says, yeah, like why would the Raptors have this guy playing? The basketball fan in me says, like, if he's going to play, like, sure.
You're going to play.
But I don't know what the rules are. I assume all of this would be worked out through the collective bargaining agreement with the Players Association and the time they signed the last CBA. I assume that there's a process that governs how this all works, and that the only reason he's playing for the Raptors is because he's allowed to be based on what the rules are.
Well, one of the things is that if you wanted to just rid your rid yourself of Terrence Davis. Like, he gets charged. That's what happened. Based on the rule, Terrence Davis would have a case against the Raptors from the players union in terms of he's not officially guilty. So you can't cut him because there's also not a basketball reason to cut him. He was excellent last year and he was going to be a key component of your team. So the Raptors' hands were tied there. They couldn't just get rid of him or face, you know, not having the player and all that stuff. I get the sense.
I liken it back to the Roberto Osuna incident.
Yeah, there you go.
And correct me if I'm wrong. He never pitched another inning for the Jays after that.
They traded it. So let's hope that the Raptors get Harden and Terrence Davis is in the package to Houston.
Yeah.
Because Osuna was traded to the Astros. So right. I don't know. Is it paid?
Houston can be I won't say that, actually. No,
no, I know where you're going.
But it's Terrence Davis, I was a big fan of his last year. Definitely hope for his own sake and for the sake of those who know him that he isn't guilty of what he's been charged with and that he can continue to play. But I would agree with you if there's truth there and if he's guilty, he's got to go.
Yeah, agreed. Well, let's not go out on that. What else can we talk about? I don't want to end it there. Hey, that's it. We got our thoughts on Terrence Davis.
I want to talk about OG Anunoby's role. I made the.
Yes, okay. Actually, I did want to get back. You've always been high in OG. I've always been negative. Let's put it this way. I've had a lot of people that are talking about how much of a steal it was, his contract. I argue that he was overpaid. And along with Fred VanVleet, overpaid. I'm okay overpaying Freddie. It's not easy to get point guards of his caliber, and you know he can potentially get a little bit better. OG would have more upside, obviously. Also, like Siakam, yeah. You look back now, of course he's overpaid right now. That was always the case, giving him a max contract with averaging like 15 points a game. Prior to last year. So, you know, they have the most to grow into their contracts and make them look good. OG, he can do it, but at the same time, he still can't dribble. And when you look at it, you've got a guy who is a 3-and-D guy who is now getting $18 million a year.
But I don't think he's a 3-and-D guy.
If that contract is to be valued or viewed as cheap and a steal for the Raptors, he has to be able to dribble. And for like, it's simple enough.
I agree with you. I think he can. And I think what we're going to see is that he's improved his game around the rim. I think we're going to see that he's improved his game dribbling. Didn't you see that dunk he did in the preseason where they were saying on the highlight videos, they were like, you reach OG teach. He look, his handles.
Yeah, a little far, dude. OG teach on dribbling. Guy does not have handles. I love OG. I love you, but he doesn't. It was a simple behind the back on a rookie. Come on.
You're absolutely right. My point is that last year when we talked about the Raptors going into the bubble, I said that there's going to be a couple games that OG Anunoby steals for the Raptors. He's an impact player. He hits big shots. He's cool as ice. He plays great defense, and he's very athletic. I don't think that it was a bad contract and it was a good signing. And I think if the Raptors are going to be successful this year, we know what we're getting from Fred. We need way more out of OG Anunoby. And we need way more. Well, I don't think we need more than we've seen out of Siakam. We need that Siakam from regular season last year. We need that to be him going forward. And if we can hit those, then I think we could be a 4-5 team in the East. Potentially third.
Yeah, I mean, we still have Kyle Lowry on a contract year. The guy doesn't want to retire next year. I'm sure this is not his last year in the NBA.
Yeah, but he's very quietly in his like early 50s, and he he was fifth in the league in minutes last year, or top five in the league in minutes, and I heard this stat. There's like five players that have ever in their mid 30s that had Lowry's age gone 15-6 as a point guard, and he's one of them. So he's already, in my mind, playing way above where he should be at this point of his career. And so I just don't know how much more we can take from the Kyle Lowry tree before it's over. I listen.
Well, that's maybe why our.
What's that?
So maybe that's why we got Flynn, right? He can get the minutes.
Totally. And
a little bit of minutes.
At least another point, Phil, which is just that with all these teams, you know, the Lakers, the Heat, you know, certainly a guy like Kawhi, a guy like KD coming off a massive injury on a very shortened season, not for all players, but for a lot of them. It's going to be really interesting to see how players manage the early part of this season and how teams manage their players in the early part of this season. Because, you know, with any one of these teams, they automatically fall out of contention with any key injury. And we've seen a lot of that in the last couple of years in the NBA. And so I think we're probably going to see that be a factor this year. There will be one or two teams that we've been talking about and that the league is really high on that probably won't be there at the end of the season because of that reason.
Absolutely. Very unpredictable. Things change all the time. Well, I will continue to say that OG needs to prove it to me, and now he's my number one player to criticize, because if I see him like average get 20 points in a game, a couple of games in a row, and then score two, I'm going to be pretty upset, and I will rip on him like I used to rip on Lowry. So get prepared for that. That's what you can hope for and listen to this year on Raptor End is just all we're talking is OG. that's all it is.
You're just gonna be grinding OG, eh? Because now if he signed for $15 million a year instead of $18 million a year, would you still be grinding on him?
Less grinding for sure. You know what? You're absolutely the guy. $18 million is not staggering. I'm not gonna rip on the contract amount. I don't want to hear that it was the biggest steal of a lifetime and, oh, my God, I can't believe we signed OG for this. Oh, my God, you spent $72 million on a guy who averaged 10 points a game? Holy shit. Like, wow. No, that's the one point that's you gotta get. He's got to improve.
Yeah, and I think I would assume the Raptors management are doing it because they see something in him and they see his ability to go to the next level, and Nick Nurse probably agrees. And so –
like I said, obviously not even just referencing it back to the year prior to the championship. I mean, the guy stepped up. Like, he wasn't afraid to take shots. He made them. He had a high percentage from three, and he hit a. He's very clutch in the game. He's got the game winner in Boston. He's got that game tying basket, game three in Cleveland.
Yeah.
That's ice in his veins. So, sometimes you look at guys like maybe he can be like a Derek Fisher type. Guy who was, never too overwhelming in the regular season, did his job, but playoff time came. Derek Fisher was a guy that stepped up. So I'll take that.
Well, we shall see. Now, Phil, tomorrow night we're opening the season at home in Tampa Bay against the New Orleans Pelicans. And Las Vegas has the Toronto Raptors favored by 4 points against the Pelicans. Who do you like in that game?
I'm taking the Raptors just because I always take the home team on opening night. I think that we're either winning this game close or getting blown out because someone like Zion's going to just destroy us on the boards and get like 35 points. Anyways, is this a nationally televised game?
I doubt it because there's about 80 other games on tomorrow night.
Okay. Well, I figured it's Zion. People want to see Zion, though.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. You got OKC, Houston. You've got Wizards, Philly. There's the Miami, Orlando. There's a lot of good games on tomorrow night. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see. I also think the Raptors. I like the Raptors to cover that game as well.
Yeah, I'm taking it. All right. Well, we're going to be on weekly, and we'll have Blair on sometimes, and it might get a little heated. So look forward to the rant. Thank you, Patrick.
Go Raptors.